This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on Veterans Day 2024. My name is Jim Santel. I'm sitting in for Maggie today, both this hour and the next hour today, as we not only observe Veterans Day 2024, but also talk about those news stories in our lives that are made possible and that are in many ways animated by the conduct, the behavior, the service of veterans for well over 200 years in American history. We always invite your comments, your questions, your inquiries into our discussion. That number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And my terrific producer, Calvin, and I will be delighted to entertain your thoughts, your comments on any of these issues, beginning with this important news coming out of a federal court just this past week, having to do with this program put in place through an executive order by the current president. His name is Joe Biden. And back in August, he implemented this program called the Keeping Families Together Initiative. Again, an executive order not legislatively done, not done through the judiciary, which is the point of this particular news story. But generally, immigrants who've entered the United States illegally have to leave the country, have to depart, and then come back to complete the green card process. That can take years. The Biden program, which was in place for a whopping week before something happened last week in a federal district court, allowed for those who are married, again, married to United States citizens, to remain in the country. They didn't have to leave and come back. It granted them what the immigration system refers to as a thing called parole, P-A-R-O-L-E. It sets a status that also protects them from deportation, so keeps them here while their process goes forward. And at the time, President Biden, at the time of his announcement of this initiative, hailed that effort. He said it's a way to keep families together and offer them the comfort of knowing that they would avoid deportation, not dividing spouses, partners, husbands, wives, all kinds of people who are benefiting, should benefit, from not only the largesse, the wonders of our nation, but also an immigration system that should treat them fairly. That's what his message was. He said, these couples have been raising families, sending their kids to church and school, paying taxes, contributing to our country. Said they're living in the United States all this time with fear and uncertainty. We can fix that. And that's the reason why he issued this executive order. Again, not legislative, not through the courts. He said, I'm going to do this by a stroke of a pen, by virtue of my authority as the President of the United States of America. Last Thursday, a federal judge in Texas struck down that administration program that sought to provide this path for U.S. citizenship for quite literally hundreds of thousands of undocumented immigrants who happen to be married to American citizens. The ruling was issued by a judge named J. Campbell Barker, B-A-R-K-E-R. He's in the United States District Court. This is a federal court for the Eastern District of Texas, one of the 93 districts in America. It comes quite literally months after an initiative, litigation initiative, that was spearheaded in many ways by Ken Paxton. Who is that? You know him as the Attorney General for the state of Texas. He files this lawsuit claiming that the administration lacked the authority. President Biden does not have the authority, he said, to enact this program. Only the Congress can do it. And in August, in the wake of the start of that lawsuit, Judge Barker, the federal judge, temporarily blocked all of this just about a week after it had already gone into effect. On Thursday, the judge issued a 74-page decision, 74 pages. He said that the Biden administration did not, in fact, have the authority to create the program. Presidents cannot do this, he said. Only the Congress can do it. And for that reason, the program stricken down by the federal district court judge there in eastern Texas. The result of that, of course, is that the program now not only is stricken down, but will be the subject of an appeal. The United States Department of Justice indicating that even in this Department of Justice, an effort made to appeal that decision. Where does that go? That goes to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, challenging the decision by J. Campbell Barker to strike it down and attempting to restore it in much the same way that other executive orders in this area were called DACA, well, issued by President Obama. Another attempt to address the thorny, difficult challenges that are presented by an immigration system that is undeniably broken with a small b, and significantly the Congress, again, has not wrestled with. And that's the problem. We've got a situation where presidents feel compelled to, and I'd offer, should act when the Congress does not, to address major problems like these. I mentioned before that the United States Congress, this Congress, the 118th Congress, was on the verge of enacting some major legislation that would have solved not every problem, not overnight, but would have accomplished much of what we need to address, not only in the southwest border, but basically in these kinds of things. How do we deal with all kinds of young people, middle-aged people, old people who are here and whose situations have prompted them to fall through the cracks of a system that doesn't address their particular challenges? Well, Congress was about to do that. Donald Trump instructed the Republican leadership in the Congress not to go ahead with it, and it sank. Even after there was a unanimous result, a unanimous agreement among the members of Congress that this should go ahead, a bipartisan movement to get that done. Well, again, presidents, in the absence of action by the United States Congress, quite literally now for decades, to address an issue of immigration, attempting very strongly, very, very aggressively, if you will, to issue executive orders to address things that the Congress has not. Just this past week, J. Campbell Barker of the U.S. District Court in the Eastern District of Texas says, you can't do that, Mr. President. And so we'll see what the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals does. Another significant thing, of course, is Department of Justice is going to change leadership in about 70 days from now. We'll see if that initiative to take that case up to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, if that continues, highly likely it won't. Time running out for this particular initiative, the Keeping Families Together executive order, announced by President Biden back in August, almost certainly now a casualty both of a decision by this federal district court judge who says you can't do this beyond the authority, and also by the election of just about 6 days ago, in which a new administration will come in and change the priorities and change the positions of the Department of Justice in courts, district courts, appellate courts, the Supreme Court around the country. We've got another decision just this past week, this one by a military judge appropriate on this Veterans Day. A military judge ruled just last week that those plea agreements, remember those plea agreements between the alleged 9/11 co-conspirators? They've been at Guantanamo Bay virtually since the time that they were apprehended in the wake of 9/11, identified as the masterminds and the people who put that in place, who were the architects of the attack upon our nation. Those plea agreements put together between those defendants who have been sitting there in prison and the U.S. government. The military judge saying that those agreements are valid and enforceable. What were those agreements? The agreements basically said that the defendants could, in fact, agree to remain in prison for the rest of their natural lives, but it took the death penalty off the table. The government would agree not to pursue the death penalty as to them if they plead guilty to a number of criminal offenses and agree also remain in prison, of course, for the rest of their lives, death penalty being taken off the table. What happened, of course, is that the defense secretary, Austin, you may recall well, determined that that particular agreement entered into by military attorneys and counsel for those defendants not properly going ahead. And so the secretary of defense, Lloyd Austin, said, I'm recalling that. I'm saying that that cannot happen. And what happened just last week reverses the decision of the defense secretary. The ruling now allows for the plea deals to go forward and could mean that these defendants will eventually be sentenced to life in prison and therefore avoid death sentences, which is what the original plea agreements called for. The judge, his name is Colonel Matthew McCall, M-C, capital C-A-L-L. He is not a federal district court judge. He's a military judge. He said last week at the start of a pretrial hearing that he expected that the accused would be able to submit their guilty pleas as early as this week, November 14th or 15th, following the conclusion of witness testimony on another matter. And that will largely entail McCall, discussing the allegations with the defendants to ensure that they know what they're doing, that they're clear about what they are pleading to and are doing so willingly. All of that announced by the military judge, reversing the decision by the defense secretary just this past week that invalidated those plea agreements, now likely going ahead this week. this week in those military tribunals there, after the judge takes care of some other matters, going to engage in what's called a colloquy with these defendants, asking them if they understand what they're doing, asking them if they appreciate the fact that they will never see the light of day. They will be in prison for the rest of their natural lives. And the exchange with the government, with the military, is that the government will not seek their death, will not seek to execute them in exchange for their agreement to plead guilty and then to remain in prison for the rest of their lives. Needless to say, a highly controversial matter at the time that the plea agreements were initially announced. Huge amount of controversy. Some of the families of the victims of 9/11 objecting, voicing their opinions to the defense secretary, telling him how inappropriate and significant in terms of not accomplishing justice these plea agreements were. They were plainly seeking the death penalty as to all of these defendants. A military judge now overruling the defense secretary, saying no, the defendants and the government and the military can in fact go ahead with those. That will keep them in prison and also resolve, after quite literally decades of non-resolution, what we do with these individuals who've been sitting in Guantanamo Bay without clear resolutions to their case. Great challenges also prompting these plea agreements in bringing their case, what, into a federal district court, into a military court, trying to try those cases in the midst of great numbers of national security secrets that make those cases difficult. And so all of this, an attempt by the United States military to bring at least this chapter of 9/11, which will never go away. The book never closed on 9/11, of course, in the history of our nation. But this chapter about what we do with these people who we know were the architects of that, what do we do to bring their cases to resolution? The conflict, the disagreement, the objection to this will continue, probably for as long as we continue to address issues related to 9/11. But this past week, a military judge saying go ahead with the plea agreements. He will take those agreements. He will enter them this coming week in the days ahead. And that will then resolve those cases long pending for those defendants sitting there in Guantanamo Bay. That's a military judge, not a federal judge, but nonetheless, he has the authority to act in that area because of the fact that these are military charges against these defendants. We do have federal judges, again, like the one in Eastern Texas that ruled unconstitutional Joe Biden's petition, his position, his articulation of this executive order that would keep some undocumented spouses in the country, that now being overruled by, invalidated by this judge. That's a federal district court judge. There's another federal district court judge, Illinois, that did something very significant also just late last week. Federal judge in Illinois has ruled that Illinois' blanket ban on assault weapons, you may recall this well, we've talked a lot about this story, blanket ban on assault weapons there in Illinois is unconstitutional. Violates, the judge said, the Second Amendment to the Constitution, specifically invoking that case called Bruin, that case involving the need to support or not support any legislation that restricts, controls, somehow affects the status and the transfer, the possession of firearms in America. Can only do it, the Supreme Court said, if you look back in history, if you can find in tradition and in history a basis for doing it. Well, Stephen McGlynn, who's a U.S. District Court judge for the Southern District of Illinois, using that Bruin position, that Bruin articulation, finding that the ban in Illinois against assault weapons is unconstitutional. We'll talk more about exactly what Judge McGlynn did just this past week when the Maggie Dawn Show continues here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media.